Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour promise program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Well, greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 20th, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. That's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our email address, and, of course, our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And for you folks that just want radio, archives and none of the other stuff, no news feed, anything else, go to messiahsbranch.com. I know a lot of smartphone-friendly people go over there, so check it out. Anyway, also check out branch.podomatic.com because they have apps for iPhone and for Android, and yes, we are working on an app for Messiah's Branch, but, you know, I'm kind of slow on those things, you know, I'm not as, it'd be nice if some young person said, oh, I know how to do that, I'll do it for you, Pastor Dan, and send me an email, but the chance of that, who knows. Anyway, I challenge you to share these radio programs with at least two or three other people. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by U.S. Postal Service and email with your return address and or your phone number so you can call us back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations for donations. In fact, my wife says, I just lose the address. Anyway, we have a prayer request. A prayer request form or box on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and Messiah's Branch pages, so check it out. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide. We're at Lisbon, Portugal, Cape Town, South Africa, Tehran, Iran, Manila, Philippines, Espoo, Finland, Melbourne, Australia. I don't mean to laugh at you folks in Finland. I just don't know how to pronounce the name. Of course, cities right here in the good old USA like San Jose, California, which the last couple of weeks has been a real big listener. Omaha. Anyway, not Obama. That's funny. Anyway, Omaha, Nebraska. Sorry, folks in Nebraska. Las Vegas, Nevada. Northport, Alabama. Austin, Texas. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go off live radio later on in podcasts tonight. And San Jose, the last couple of weeks, has been going back and forth. One day they have more. The other day, Wichita has more. Kind of funny. I was born in San Jose. Of course, I haven't been there since I was brought to Wichita when I was in when I was 3 years old, and then I went back as a visit when I was about 21, just for about 2 months. Anyway, prayer will bring on tonight's guest because I'm sure he's tired of waiting on me. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, he's back. That's Pastor Carl Gallups. And of course, he's a best-selling author. He's been a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. Of course, that means he's heard nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest, commentator, former decorated Florida law officer, founder of PNN, News and Ministry Network, and member of the Board of Regents of the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written several books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaderi and His Prophecies of the End Time, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Times of Trouble. And he has a book just came out. It's called When the Lion Roars. There's so much going on with elections and WikiLeaks emails that prove we just seem like a moment away from world government. More and more power is being conceded to the United Nations. Really, there is. And so I bet most people miss this one because of all the election stuff. The UN body voted that the Temple Mount no longer is Jewish. This is big news. And we will see if we can pressure Carl into giving his side of this. I'm sure Carl hasn't written anything about it, right, folks? And maybe if there's time, he might give us an update on what he thinks about current events, like maybe WikiLeaks, the election, or something. We'll just see what's in his head. So, welcome back. Pastor Carl, are you there with me?
Pastor Dan, I'm here. Oh, my goodness, please don't expose what's in my head to the world, please.
You did a fine job of that yourself, Carl. I've been glancing at your website, and you got lots of things up there.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. You're a good friend and brother. I love being on Messiah's Branch with you, brother. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, I try to have you on at least once a month, you know. Anyway, for the record, you've been really busy. I want to point out to the folks over there at CarlGallups.com, he's got a little thing, a window that keeps going. You know, it shows different things every few seconds. And Carl's got a lot of good articles over there. But what do you think about this? Well, let's talk about this UN Temple Mount thing. What do you think about that?
Well, brother, the simple answer is this. It is just one more sign of the demonic, wicked, godless, God's word denying spirit that is sweeping the world. It's the theater of the absurd, Pastor Dan, for the UN to declare that the Temple Mount is not Jewish, nor has it ever been. You know, you want to first say, okay, you're calling it the Temple Mount. So what temple was there, and who built it, and why was it built, and to whom was it dedicated? We know that the Dome of the Rock was built in the 600s A.D., so the Temple Mount was there before, so what was there? Well, what do all the historical records that are reliable at all say? Of course, the Word of God, the Bible, but there are other historical and archaeological records outside of the Word of God. We know what was there. It was Solomon's temple and then later Herod's temple. And we know that the Babylonians made a big deal out of tearing down Solomon's temple. And all of that is recorded in history book and ancient literature. So what do they mean? This is not the Jews. It doesn't belong to the Jews. They had nothing to do with it. It's the theater of the absurd. But it's like everything else, Pastor Dan. Truth is being thrown to the ground. People are believing the great deception, the great lies. Apostasy is sweeping the word concerning the truth of God's world inside the church and outside the church. And this is just one more example of the vicious hatred for the Jews and the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Because, you see, that nation of Israel stands as God's final, one of his two final witnesses to the world, that he is on his throne, the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is soon to come, the returned nation of Israel. The Old Testament calls it the olive tree. The New Testament calls it the olive tree. The olive tree is a witness to the world. And by the way, so is the lampstand, the church of God, Revelation 1, verse 20 says. The lampstand is the church. And look what's being attacked demonically in the United States, in the Middle East, in Europe, around the world, the Church of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. And there's just one more prime example of this demonic spirit that's sweeping the world. That's my simple answer. You want to hear the complex one?
Why do you have the complex one ready?
No, brother, I'm just, I don't know. Do you agree with that, or at least part of that?
I agree with that. Yeah, I got a couple comments on what you say. You talk about the, first of all, I want to address the lies thing. You know, as I look out, you know, in my day-to-day business, you know, of the things that I do, taking care of other people and things, and then getting on the internet, the people in general is they're existing in a sea, what I call a sea of lies. You know, it's like I'm looking for an iceberg, which to me represents a truth, but there is none out there. It's just a sea of lies, and that's what the people believe. If a lie is told enough, then in some absurd way, it becomes kind of the truth, at least to the people that are not of God, that search for the truth. But even the people of God are being overwhelmed by the lies because so many have accepted the lies for truth. You know, it's just like, and I don't want to go into the election. I'm going to say this. It's just like, you know, Hillary Clinton. Now, this woman has enough audacity to say that, well, you shouldn't be looking at WikiLeaks emails because, you know, that was from Russia or whatever. She skips over the part that it's the truth, you know. She doesn't deny that the truth. She just says, well, you can't read them because of this. And CNN, you know, is supposed to be a news agency. They come forward and they say, well, you can't they actually said, one of their commentators says, you can't read WikiLeaks emails. It's illegal for people to read it. So stop reading them. I mean, it's such a sea of lies. I mean, it's just a sign of where we're at. What do you think?
No, you hit the nail on the head, Pastor Dan. And the deal is this. Look, that is one of the signifying traits of the last days. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel said, and he will throw truth to the ground. Of course, ultimately in the Antichrist. But that Antichrist spirit is growing thicker and thicker and thicker. Truth will be thrown to the ground. Deceit will be the order of the day. 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about, you know, the lawless one. Lawless. Huh. The lawless one. I mean, look at the lawlessness. Look what we've seen with, you know, speaking of Hillary Clinton, look what we've seen with her. Pure lawlessness. Look at the WikiLeaks. Look at the email scandal. Look at the FBI. Look at James Comey, who says, oh, yeah, she broke this law and she broke this protocol and she did this and she did that. But she didn't mean to, so we're going to let her off. Now, if you do it, he says, that's not to say that you won't go to prison. I mean, that lawlessness, rule of law, being thrown to the ground. And then 2 Thessalonians says, and he will cause deceit to prosper. Well, we're living in right in the edges of the appearance of the Antichrist, brother. I mean, the Antichrist spirit is so thick, and that's what this is about. And look, it is proliferated by the ubiquitous presence of internet technology. Now, listen, I love the internet. You and I both use it. I mean, praise God for the good things about it. But look at the evil that comes from it. And one of the evils is the ability to spread lies, falsehood, and deceit around the world and to have people, especially impressionable young people who use the internet a lot. It's unbelievable. I mean, there is a demonic outpouring right now in the world like never before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right about the internet. You know, while I believe it's, you know, it's prophecy. It says, you know, that knowledge would greatly increase. Well, of course it has. And, you know, it's just like now it's amazingly good because, you know, Carl, I still haven't got used to the fact that people in China, people in Iran, people all over the world listen to what we're saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know it is a fact. I get emails from them, and I have a Google thing that shows it. But the point is, so that's amazing. But it also shows you the extent of the lies of the world.
Yeah.
And It's just amazing
and the powers that be, the globalist, and listen, you know, used to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, we could speak of globalism and one world order and the globalist, and we would be called Looney Tunes, conspiracy theorists. But now they're out in the open. They brag about it. This is what they want, one world order. Hillary Clinton's a globalist. Most of the Republican establishment in Washington, D.C., they're globalists right along with the Democrats. They, you know, people scratch their heads and say, what's going on in America? Why are they making so many godless decisions, anti-American decisions, unconstitutional decisions? They're trampling on the foundation of our nation, and these are Republicans and so-called conservatives. Of course the Democrats are doing it, and people scratching their heads, Pastor Dan, and saying, what's happening? What are they doing? And my answer is simple. Once you understand they are not with us, it makes sense. They are not for us, Pastor Dan. They are
absolutely
not. And they hate what you are doing on the Internet. They hate what I'm doing on the Internet. I'm convinced this turning over of the sovereignty of the Internet to foreign nations is for the purpose of eventually eliminating people like Dan Catlin and Carl Gallup on the Internet. I'm convinced of it.
Oh, I absolutely am. I absolutely am. There is a bigger ulterior motive for anything that Obama does, and he's trying to turn as much many things as he can. He even said we should give up our sovereignty to get the United Nations. We need to wake up. Now, here's one thing that's really amazing right now. I've been into the prophecy stuff clear back 94 or something like that. I helped out another ministry, and so I did a newsletter for like a mail out newsletter for like 20 years, and so I've been doing this a very, very long time. Okay, having said that, I've seen every kind of conspiracy theory in the world during those years, and you wouldn't believe the books that I read on it and the programs that I've been on, because I've been on radio since 2000. But let's go with this. Right now, with this election, between Donald Trump and the things that he exposed by the people that are coming against him, globalists, people that were hiding in the shadows that I thought were good Republicans, turned out not to be, but turned out to be globalists. But these WikiLeaks emails, between all of this, you wouldn't believe how many conspiracy theories are not conspiracy theories. They're conspiracy facts.
Yep.
That, and we have proof of it now, and it's just simply mind-blowing.
Well, okay, voter fraud. Trump is correct on that, and the WikiLeaks expose that. The fact you and I were talking about, and a lot of people were, but you and I were talking about Obamacare when Justice Roberts ruled in favor of it when we all knew it was clearly illegal and unconstitutional. And we all were saying, gosh, it's like somebody got to him. But you hated to say that because you felt like, well, no, that can't happen in America. And if we say that, we're going to look like crazy conspiracy theorists. Well, the WikiLeaks emails reveal that Hillary and her people were bragging about it, that Obama had gotten to Justice Roberts. He had gotten to him, twisted his arm on Obamacare. Now, how does a president who's there for 4 years or maybe 8 years at the most, twist the arm of a Supreme Court justice who's appointed for life? How does that happen? Well, you got to have something on them. You've got to have them blackmailed. Well, you're right. I mean, this is the year of revelation, is it not? Things are being revealed. God is pulling back the veil and showing for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, we are able to see. If we've got the Holy Spirit of discernment, we see what's happening. Listen,
amen.
This stuff about, you know, Donald Trump saying, look, voter fraud. And then Hillary Clinton castigates him. Oh, that's horrible. That's horrifying to say things like that. Voter fraud. There's no voter fraud, okay? Just on PNN website alone, I copied these right off of Drudge over on the left-hand column. Listen to this. Here's what Drudge had, stories. Listen to the titles of these stories. Flashback, Al Gore explains why he won't concede election. Last week, Hillary agreed that Gore won 2000, that it was voter fraud. Hillary, 2002, Bush is selected, not elected, voter fraud. Another one, 8 times liberals claimed an election was stolen. Another one, Kerry thinks Bush rigged 2004. Another one, Joe Scarborough lashes out at media hypocrisy, voter fraud. Cadell, press have selective memory. Polls, 72% of Americans believe that there is massive voter fraud in America. 72%! Here's another one. Texas fraud prompts hotline offering a $5,000 reward. Florida Democratic Party wants ballots allowed before registration is verified. That's the Democratic Party. Judge reopens voter registration in Virginia. I mean, on and on and on it goes. The liberals are the ones who are whining and crying about voter fraud. And then when Trump says, look, I'm becoming a victim of voter fraud, they all lash out at him like he's a lunatic, and the media picks up on it and reports on it as though they forgot that that's all that the Democrats have been talking about for 15, 20 years.
Well, look, there's that one, I guess it's Betrius or Vetrus video
Veritas,
that came out.
Veritas.
Yeah, that came out and said absolutely that there was that they've been rigging the elections for 50 years.
Yeah.
And didn't they fire that guy or something like that?
But now they're going after the guy that produced the video, and they're trying to get criminal charges on him. It's just like the abortion thing. See, here's the thing. They don't care. They, the socialist, communist, globalist,
right.
The wicked ones, they don't care if we know what they're doing. It gives them a sense of power and entitlement if they know that we know what they're doing, but we can't do anything about it. What they care about is if we can prove they're doing it. And that's what WikiLeaks is doing. That's what Veritas is doing. And they're going out of their ever-loving minds right now, Pastor Dan. They've been rubbing it in our face for decades. And then if Pastor Dan gets on the radio and talks about it, well, he's just a crazy kook. He's a conspiracy theorist. They're gaslighting us because they know that you know, and they don't care that you know, but they're going to tell you that you shouldn't believe what your eyes see. And that's how they mess with our minds, or they think they are. But but what they do care about is if we can prove it to the world. And
okay, let me break in, Carl. We're going to have to go to a break. So give your website real quick, and we'll get out of here for 3 minutes.
CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com.
Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with much more from Carl. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know what? And over the last few weeks, we've gotten some new people that are donating, you know, not huge donations, but they're committed donations. And I noticed that they're automatic donations, the two of them that I noticed. So praise the Father for that. I really do appreciate it. But we do need your support because we're just a small mission church, and the poor people can't give us the money we need for the things that we do for them. What do we do for them? Food, clothing, over-the-counter medications. You know, and we don't really get any help from any of the other people around the city because, you know, like we've been talking about in this radio program, you know, they judge us as conspiracy theorist people, and we support Israel, and in Kansas, they don't understand. You ask somebody in Kansas, do you know what Messianic is? That's the way that most of them, and you say, well, do you know what Hebrew roots are? And they go, and you go, okay, Well, it's all about the same in what you believe, except we do different holidays. How about that? But then they still don't get it. So most people don't understand who we are. And so, but they do always say what a wonderful job we're doing. So pray about supporting us because we really do need your help. And we have no guidelines like programs. The only programs that I have are radio programs. And for the record, you noticed I don't call our program shows because to me the difference between a program and a show is I'm here to entertain you. A program means this is something that I'm trying to teach you. There's a purpose for it, and it's more than just entertainment. Actually, entertainment is the last thing on my mind. In fact, that's what happened to so many churches is they changed from being programs of being teaching people to an entertainment factor. And so, you know, I'm not in condemnation of the Christian church. Just saying that's where modern society has led us with. Anyway, so we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another while we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. What I want to point out, though, too, is we're looking for people to help us with Thanksgiving this next month. It's a big thing. I'm going to talk about it a month ahead of time because it's the biggest day of the year for us. I know there's all those other holidays, but Thanksgiving is the biggest day at the Mission Church. We get the most people, and we do Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving, and it's not just dinner. We're open. We let them have football. Oh, boy, that's probably sacrilegious to some people, but we let them watch football, and they come in, they relax, they get food. It's like, you know, it's like family. That's what it is. And then we also do Thanksgiving the next day. So we do it Thursday and Friday. So you folks over there in Wichita, that's mainly who I'm talking about. Of course, you folks listen to me all over the place. If you want to send a donation for Thanksgiving, mark it for Thanksgiving. But anyway, back to that. Folks over there in Wichita, if you would like to prepare a dish or maybe cook a turkey and debone it and then let us know, you can deliver it, or maybe you want to make some dressing or some pies or something you'd like to donate for this, pray about it and call me. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. If you call about a donation at 620-878-4682, my wife will call you back about that donation and discuss with you whatever you want to talk about as far as food goes or whatever for the Thanksgiving thing. Just leave the message and say, I'd like to talk to somebody about Thanksgiving. And so let's get that done. So it'll be a big, big thing this year, as it is most years. And so now we're back talking with Carl Gallup. So you're here with me, Carl.
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, amen. Hey, Carl, you like Thanksgiving?
Oh, brother. I like it for a lot of reasons. First of all, I just love that time of year. Yeah, fall, and of course, hunting season starts. I love being out with my boys, my son, my grandson, my family. I love the whole understanding of Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for the great blessings we have. I love the meals and the football games and the fellowship and everything that goes with it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, amen. Well, Thanksgiving, you know what? Of course, we're in the Feast of Tabernacles which we kind of hold it like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
In fact, on the last day of Sukkot this year, our family is going to gather together, and we're actually going to have our Thanksgiving dinner on the last great day.
That's right.
We're going to get together and have turkey and dressing and everything because we normally do. We gave up our Thanksgiving that I really love that holiday. There's family coming over, you know, and all those weird relatives that you only see once in a while. And Thanksgiving time. Well, we gave that up because we believed that the people needed it.
Yeah.
And so for the last 17 years, we've been doing our Thanksgiving over there. And so we just decided this year that we were going to do a new tradition and we're going to do our family Thanksgiving on the last day of Sukkot. And then, you know,
two things about that. First of all, you're right. I mean, that's what Sukkot is, of course. It's a Thanksgiving. It's a celebration. And every time I teach on that feast, I use the illustration. I said it's like the equivalent of a Jewish Hebrew Thanksgiving. But of course, for the church, for blood-bought Christians, it has this great fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And behold, God will now tabernacle with men, right? Revelation 21. And yeah, so you're right. And then second thing, I notice how you set me up for the kill on that. You asked me, do I like Thanksgiving? So I started talking about how wonderful it is. Then you come along and say, yeah, we gave that pagan stuff up. Yeah, we're doing it this way.
I didn't say, okay, but I didn't, but it's not pagan. There's the point. To me, I know that, but I'm going to address that. You said that. I'm going to address that.
I'm messing with you.
I think they should know that because realistically, you know, when I decided that, you know, we are Messianic or whatever, and so we don't keep some holidays and other ones we keep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so many in the Hebrew roots and the Messianic, you know, groups that, oh, don't do Thanksgiving, you know. And really, Thanksgiving is a day about Thanksgiving. There's nothing wrong with a tradition as long as it's not against the Word of God.
Yes.
And giving thanks to God is not against the Word of God. In fact, I believe that the pilgrims themselves pattern Thanksgiving after Sukkot. But it's not, and so folks, I'm not talking to Carl really, he's just listening, but I'm telling you folks out there, Thanksgiving is not a pagan holiday. It was patterned to give people thanks to the Father for all the wonderful things that they got from him during the year, and I'll rest on that, and anybody that disbelieves it, keep it to yourself.
And you know, Thanksgiving is the only United States nationally created and celebrated holiday that is distinctly Christian in its foundation. In other words, we celebrate Christmas and Resurrection Sunday, but of course those come from the Word of God all the way back. But in the United States, you know, Congress and presidents and, you know, declared these national days of Thanksgiving until finally it became a federal holiday. But every one of them, it wasn't give thanks to yourself or give thanks to Mother Earth or give thanks to the New Age concept of globalism. It was give thanks to God, our Creator, for His hand of benevolence, a national, a federal holiday saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us.
Amen. And you know what, Carl? The powers that be, you could call it the stores or just different people, they're really trying to do away with Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen to this. You know, I remember going to a store about, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I had to run and get something that I forgot. And, you know, I went to Walmart, and I'm there, you know, and I'm getting the food, paying for whatever it was, and I'm talking to the girl. I said, well, I'm sorry that you have to be here on Thanksgiving. She said, well, it doesn't matter to me. Well, I'm going to get off early, and then I'm going Christmas shopping tonight, you know. And I said, so you're not even going to do Thanksgiving? She said, well, excuse me, my Thanksgiving is getting to go shopping and getting all these sales. And so you notice every year that they don't even advertise hardly Thanksgiving at all. And on the first day of Thanksgiving, they have all these sales that are busting out in the stores. And so people that used to sit around and fellowship and talk to those weird aunts and uncles and watch football and get too full and fall asleep and give thanks to the Father are just out there in lines outside of the stores waiting hours and hours and hours to get these implements. So, you know, it is being done away with. What do you think about that?
Yeah. No, listen, I agree with you totally. The secularist demonic movement of undermining the foundations of America and our founding is thick. It's thick right now. And, of course, they would love to remove or to outlaw any vestiges, particularly of Christianity. You notice they're not actively trying to remove vestiges of Islam, you know, but it's all targeted to the Christians and Jews. And I mean, that's demonic. That comes right out of the Word of God. It's prophetic as well. We're the largest Christian nation the planet has ever known in the history of the nation since the birth of the church and in the history of the world since the birth of the church. And the the church has largely, you know, we've gotten fat and happy. Preachers haven't been faithful in their pulpits. People haven't been faithful in their pews. We haven't been the salt, so we're being trampled underfoot, Jesus, just like Jesus said would happen. And now the wicked powers, the globalists or the secularists, are taking over. We're teaching our children they come from monkeys. We're teaching our children that you can't touch an eagle's egg, but you can rip a baby out of a womb and throw it away, cut it up in little pieces. We're teaching our children that we don't know what a marriage is. We're teaching our children we don't know what a man and what a woman is. And you know, there's a push to do away with prayer. Well, you know, there's prayer in school, and don't say God bless you. You know, don't say one nation under God. Don't salute the flag at football games. And let's not celebrate Thanksgiving, because that's just too religious. That's a government-sanctioned religious statement. And it's amazing. And I tell people, like, this radical homosexual movement, for example, you know, it's a target against the church. And I tell people, no, it's not. You're just being paranoid. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll believe it's not when I hear the government and government officials and leftist politicians go to the Muslim mosques and tell the imams that they have to quit speaking against homosexuality. They have to quit preaching. Right. They have to perform gay marriages, and go to Muslim business owners and say, you have to make a cake for gay weddings. You have to do flowers for gay weddings. But you never hear any of that, brother. It's always targeted at Christian people, God's people, Jews, Christians, churches. And so, yeah, Thanksgiving is in their sights as well.
Right. Let me give you this, and it's kind of two parts, so give me a second.
Yes, sir.
Recently, I noticed on WorldNet Daily, of course, I subscribe to their articles, but I noticed on WorldNet Daily they were talking about how churches are under fire to be declared a public place and allow, you know, that means the transgender issue, you know, inside of the church and all the rest of it that goes with it. That'll be decided by the vote. Now, here's the problem that I have. Carl, I've got people that are not the homeless people, but I've got also a small congregation besides, you know, the homeless and poor. And even within there, I have people that say, well, I don't think that a Christian is required to vote, and they shouldn't vote, and they should stay out of it. And it's just, it drives me up the wall. They just don't get it. They say that, well, God's going to appoint who he wants to appoint anyway, so it doesn't matter, and I shouldn't vote. Isn't this what got us to this point? What do you think?
It's exactly what got us to this point. And, you know, listen, brother, listen, I want to be balanced about this, and you do too, and I know you're going to agree with what I'm going to say. Technically, they're right. There's no place in the Bible that says thou must vote, thou shalt vote, or you are a sinner. But the principle is there. Jesus said, be the salt, be the light. What does that mean? Be a change agent. Be an influencer. That's what salt does. Salt preserves rotting material. It also heals wounds. It also adds flavor to something that's tasteless. Light, of course, lights up the darkness. Roaches and rats hate the light. They run when you turn the light on. And so when Jesus said, you've got to be the salt, you've got to be the light, nobody lights a lamp and then hides it under a bushel. And if the salt loses its saltiness, it's going to be trampled underfoot. Now, we come to America, the great experiment, the greatest nation the world has ever known as far as prosperity, the economic engine, the military power engine, the inventive engine of the world. Technology engine. I mean, God has blessed us. And then on top of the blessing, we have been given by God through our founding fathers and a constitution, we've been given the ability not only to vote for our leaders, but to run for office and become one of the leaders and to support each other in it. Now, take what Jesus said and think about what God has given us, and then turn around and say to the Lord, oh, but, you know, my conscience won't let me be the salt. My conscience won't let me be the light. My conscience won't let me get involved. It's just too dirty for me to be involved. Well, let me tell you what. It was too dirty for Jesus to come down and walk in and get his hands dirty and let us nail him to a cross, too. But he did it. And I'm telling you, we have been instructed to be the change agents and getting actively engaged in the political process, not letting that run your life. My first passion is to advance the kingdom of Jesus. But I'm saying, I want to do that in freedom, brother. I don't want to do it from a jail cell. I can if I have to. I don't want to do it from the underground church. I can if I have to. I don't want my children and my grandchildren going to jail or being killed because they proclaim publicly that they are Christians. It could happen, though. It's happening in other places all over the world. And I'm trying to preserve the Constitutional Republic not because I worship America. It's because I want to advance the kingdom of God in freedom and to stay disengaged from the system. I believe, based upon that biblical perspective, I think it's sin, brother.
Yeah, amen. I agree. You know, and it's like that old cliche, what is it? It says that if a good man does nothing, then evil wins, you know, something like that.
That's right, yeah. And all it takes for evil to advance is for a good man to do nothing, something like that, paraphrased, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's where we're at. And I believe we got this way because, you know, for whatever reasons, it goes back to the pulpit. I'm sorry. I love having you on because, you know, you're an example to me of how a pastor should talk. I mean, I don't know you personally, like having shook hands and met you, but I've had you on radio enough. I know your spirit, and I've read your thing. So, Carl, you're a good example. The problem is that we have so many pastors out there that are just willing to actually go along with the world, you know, go along to get along, and it's just really a shame. And so we need to start speaking out from the pulpit. And if the pastors would put it into their flock, like what you just told me, if they tell their flock the same thing, well, that's what they go there once a week or sometimes twice a week, three times, who knows. But they go there to hear the message that the pastor has to give them. And if the pastor is telling them, listen, that you should do these things, that it's a godly thing to do, it's the right thing to do, then they're more encouraged to do it. If the pastor isn't saying it, well, a lot of people would say, well, the pastor didn't say anything about it. Final thought on that, and then we'll talk about the lion roars.
Okay. No, you've hit the nail on the head. By the way, it was Edmund Burke that gave that that statement, all it takes for evil to advance is for good men to do nothing. Of course, the founder of modern conservatism, he was considered. He was an Irish political philosopher and statesman. But anyway, Edmund Burke, for the sake of your audience. But thank you for your kind words about my ministry. And yes, I mean, you have known me for a long time, and this is my heart. It is for real. I preach and teach this from the pulpit. I declare it on television. I declare it on the radio. I do it weekly, either on my own programs and or on other people's like yours. And you're right. There is a huge amount of preachers in America who are not declaring this anymore. Now, there's a sizable number that are, and praise God for them. You are a part of that as well. But according to all the surveys, among the conservative evangelical pastors themselves, by prominent survey companies like Pew Research and I can't remember the whole. I'll think of it in a moment. There's another big research group that's distinctly Christian. But those guys, they're continually putting out these polls showing that self-identified conservative evangelical pastors are not proclaiming these things. They're not touching on politics or the role of politics in the Christian life or Christians' role in politics. And they're not talking about Israel and the Middle East and abortion and evolution and gay marriage and transgenderism and what the Bible says about these things. They admit that they're not. And they say that they're not because they're afraid they'll make somebody mad. Those people will leave. They'll take their money, and then they can't pay for their big buildings they have built. It's a shame. It's a sham. The church so much of the church is no different than the ancient Orthodox Judaism that was wrapped up in its rabbinical laws rather than the Word of God.
Yeah,
so
amen.
Much that they missed Jesus Christ when he was standing right in front of them. To this day, they still miss him. And the evangelical church is making the same mistake, brother. You know, people say, well, we shouldn't be involved in politics. But politics, go look it up in the dictionary, folks. The definition, I'm going to paraphrase it, is something along the lines of the way in which we decide to govern ourselves, the way in which a society deems to operate itself. Well, you don't think Christians should be involved in that? Of course we should be involved in the way in which a society deems to govern itself, especially if God has given us the gift of a voice and a vote. And for us to spurn that and to ignore it, I still believe is sin, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. One short word. In fact, I have talked to people from England and other places on this radio station, and, you know, they express, you guys in America, sometimes you just don't get how much freedom you really have. We can't talk like you do in our country. Well, Carl, speaking of talking, how is the book The Lion Roars doing?
Brother, I give all praise to the Lord. I'm just blown away by it. It's not officially released. You can't get it in the bookstores till October 25th. But Amazon started releasing it, shipping it early, because there were so many pre-orders for it. And so before it's even officially released, it has already risen to the status of number one bestseller in the area of prophecy. And on Amazon, there are tens of thousands of prophecy books. It is the number one bestseller and has been for days. It's the number one new release on Amazon, and it has been for weeks, and it's in the top 1% of bestsellers of all 17 million books on Amazon right now, and there hasn't even been a huge major media push and TV and stuff yet, because it's not even officially released.
Right.
So God is blessing. He's really blessing it. People are reading it, and they're loving it.
Well, it must be really, really anointed. Like most of your stuff to do, I mean, you know, I love all your books. You know, I have a special place in my heart for, well, of course I like Kadri. I really like that. But, you know, I really like that book, The Magic Man in the Sky. That is a dynamite book that I think everybody ought to have one on their coffee table.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you, brother. This book, I think you're going to like as much or maybe even more, because it is the equivalent of Magic Man in the Sky, but from a prophetic standpoint. It is a primer. It is an apologetic of the times in which we're living, and it's written very, I mean, there's 34 chapters, but they're only 6 or 7 pages each. It's crisp. It's quick. It's easy to read. It comes right out of the headlines and right out of the Word of God with appropriate amount of word studies to bring it to life. All of my references, there's 34 pages of references. All of them come right out of mainstream media, historical sites, military sites, geopolitical sites, science sites, technology sites. I mean, nothing comes from any conspiracy sites or anything like that. And and that's why people are loving it. It's like, oh, my gosh. And the premise of the whole book is we are living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. We are. The return of the Lord is soon. I don't set dates. You don't have to ascribe to any eschatological scheme to read this book. I just tell people, look, at the end of the book you realize we're either very close to the rapture or we're very close to some tough times for the church. Take your pick, whatever chart and graph and map you want to believe. I mean, the Lord's going to show us one day what's right, but I'm not worried about the timing of the rapture. Is it pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation? I'm saying, here's what the Bible said. Here are the signs that would accompany the last days. By the way, there are a couple of dozen of those signs. I didn't realize that, Pastor. I've been preaching the Word for 30 years. I've been involved in prophecy for 30 years. I sat down with 7 or 8 things that I wanted to really hit and started writing this book. Before I finished, I wound up with 24 that are right before our eyes. They're all happening now. They're converging upon the scene. Most of them have already been fulfilled, and the others, we're right in the edges, and everybody's talking about that they will be fulfilled. And most of the time, people don't even know what they're saying. They don't even realize this is biblical prophecy. We're living in profoundly prophetic times, brother.
Well, absolutely. You know, the Word says it, most of the world is going to be caught unaware at that time. And, you know, I do strongly believe that. But the way that you're telling me that you wrote the book with short chapters, and, you know, that's actually how people read nowadays, if you can get them to read at all, is they just want short things. You know, you can't get them involved in long-term things.
Yep.
Well, we really run out of time, Carl. So why don't you tell them where your website's at, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. My website is carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. And everything about me, my ministry, the videos, PNN News and Ministry Network, my church, all of my books, how to order, everything, articles, videos, continually changing. They're there. It's all at that one website. And people go there telling me they were going to spend a few minutes, and they write me and call me and say, man, I spent hours there. So I hope you folks will like it. Yeah.
I believe it. Yeah, folks, he has a lot of things over there. Carl, you're a blessing. Thanks for being on with me.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. God bless you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallup. Go over and check his website out. He's got lots of videos, lots of information over there, and just check him out. Well, folks, before we get out of here, I want you to pray about supporting radio. As I said, I've picked up a few new donors in the last few weeks. I got a really good guest on tonight for you in an hour. It's a woman, and she's talking about the tribulation or how to make preparations. That's going to be a real good program. But radio is important. I know the mission churches, but radio is really, really important. Like right now, my screen that I'm monitoring my phone call on to talk to you is almost so blue that I can't see the lines and the images on it. I really need another screen. I have somebody's donating a really, really good video camera. I have another person donating a digital recording board. But we need a few other things, so pray about it. See about supporting radio, and we need airtime supporters. Okay, I got to get out of here. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And your Father, guess what? Isn't Allah. That's not your Father. It's Yahweh. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.